Hour number two on this Thursday morning. Jags will have a chance to take a real stranglehold on the AFC South. Win over the Titans. That would put them 3-0, and the Titans falling to 1-2. We'll see how it all plays out down there. It'll be a noon kickoff here in town. And with that being said, we bring in Mark Long from the Associated Press. Covers the Jags. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Impressive win last week over New England. We were just kind of talking about in the last hour, you just kind of expecting the Patriots to come back, and the Jags kept their foot on the gas, and they didn't let it happen.
Yeah, getting out to that huge lead, 14-0, was critical. You know, as Tom Brady pointed out after the game, the last thing you want to do, any team in this league, no matter how good you are, is play to the strength of your opponent. And that's exactly what the Pats did when you're down 14-0 and then 28-3. You know, you're or 24, I don't know what the score was. I think it was 28-3. But whatever it is, it's, you know, you're all of a sudden chasing. And that plays right into what Jacksonville does, because they're really good at in the secondary, and they're really good about getting after the quarterback. So you know, at that point, you know, they were in a world of trouble. And not even the Pats could come back. But listen, there's no doubt about it. This is a really good football team that they've assembled after years of embarrassment, and they're ready to compete in the AFC. And that was the statement game that showed it.
No doubt about it. Leonard Fournette set out that game. Was on the sidelines being a good cheerleader. He was limited in practice yesterday. What do you think? Your best guess is for his availability, or will there be? Do you think he plays on Sunday? Is there a chance of it?
Yeah, I think it's better than a chance. I think him being out yesterday in a limited role was a huge step toward playing, and he's back out today. I'm out at practice right now, and he's out there practicing, you know, just like everybody else, you know, with he doesn't even look limited. So I would think that he's a slam dunk to play. This is a guy who hasn't missed, you know, games in consecutive weeks in his 2-year career. And so my guess is they were precautionary with him last week, and he'll be back this week doing his thing.
I know, we know the significance of the left tackle, so I get it, but I just want you to expound on it. But how big of a loss is losing the left tackle for the season?
It's big because, listen, nobody has good backups on the offensive line anymore. They're few and far between. So all of a sudden, you know, you got a step. There's obviously a step back there. Anybody who's watched Josh Wells play in the preseason knows it's a pretty significant step. He's still a young kid who's developing and has only played 4 games in this league. So, you know, he's got a long way to go. Cam Robinson was a guy who was pretty solid for them last year. He hadn't played great this year and in the preseason. But, you know, they know he was what he was capable of, and they're not so sure Josh Wells can do that. And here's the other thing. They don't have, you know, Mercedes Lewis was a tight end they let go last year, with one of the better run-blocking tight ends in the league, and you could line him up next to a young offensive tackle and really, you know, slow down or shut down the Brian Arakpos or the J.J. Watts in this league, you know, one of the better defensive ends by doubling them up. You know, they don't have that now. They got all these pass-catching tight ends with, you know, led by Austin Seferian Jenkins. So that's where you start to wonder, you know, can they, if they get in a hole, can if they're in trouble against a really good pass rush, how are they going to be able to help Josh Wells on that side? You know, I think it'll be a lot of chipping from running backs and whatnot. But that's where they're at, and that's where they're going to have to be for 14 games. Cognizant of what they've got on the left side and finding ways to get the ball out quicker and maybe roll Blake Bortles, some of those things that you can do to alleviate those issues.
I thought when they lost the Allens at receiver, Hearns and Robinson, that they were going to take a step back at that position. I've been really impressed. Obviously, we've all seen the one-handed catch by Keelan Cole. That was really impressive. D.D. Westbrook has also showed up as well. I've been impressed by those two guys replacing Robinson and Hearns.
Yeah, they went out and they thought they were too slow at receiver with Allen Robinson and Allen Hearns. And so they went out and they got speed guys. They drafted D.D. Westbrook last year in the 4th round. Biletnikoff winner from Oklahoma. They went out and signed Dante Moncrief. And then they think Keelan Cole, they think the world of Keelan Cole. They think he's an absolute budding star. And he's an undrafted kid from tiny little Kentucky Wesleyan. And he was a little over his head last year, admittedly so, being from, you know, playing in front of 1,500 people to trying to get used to the game speed of the NFL. But he's come along, and all of a sudden now those three guys, they've got a lot of weapons and a lot of speed, and you can really stretch the defense. And when you want to really run the ball, and that's what they want to do here, you got to have guys on the outside that kind of keep the defense honest. And that's really what they're trying to do with all that speed. And you saw it last week when they said, listen, we don't have Leonard Fournette. We're not going to let these guys gang up on us and get us in third and long. We're going to go out and attack them. And they did that to the Pats, and those guys were running wide open pretty much the entire first half all over the field.
We're talking to Mark Long. He is with the Associated Press, covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. They host the Titans coming up on Sunday, big division game. And Mark, let's go a little further with Bortles, because it seems to be a weekly question, especially for us up here, to ask, okay, can he get to a next level? Can he build off of what he did in the postseason last year? In week one, you weren't really sure. They didn't do a whole lot against the Giants. They sort of played it close to the vest. That was probably the best way to play, given the situation there. But I did not envision him being able to pass them to a win over the Patriots. But that's exactly what they did last week.
Yeah, he's done it in the past. He did it last year and certainly before that. But it wasn't against that kind of quality opponent. You know, it was against a team like Seattle that was, you know, banged up in the secondary last year, or you know, a team like Indianapolis that was awful defensively last year. So that really was a huge step for him. Best game of his career, 370 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. You know, he really looked the part. And I think what he's really done is he's found a way to play to his strength, which is mobility in the pocket, throwing on the run, throwing off balance. I mean, he's not the most accurate guy on the planet. He's not going to sit in the pocket and pick you apart like some of these guys are capable of. But where he does, he can hurt you, is that mobility and being able to throw off the off his back foot, off his front foot, running, you know, left, running right. He's a little bit of a wizard like that, and they've figured out how to play to that and make that his strength, and that's what you're kind of seeing, and that's what the Patriots certainly saw last week.
How much are you hearing the payback narrative coming in? You're hearing a lot of that down there?
It's all we're hearing. Listen, it's
really?
Payback tour 2018. Miles Jack called it. Listen, they open with at the Giants. That's Tom, the team that fired Tom Coughlin. And anybody who thinks Tom Coughlin's not involved here is crazy. Tom Coughlin's super involved here. So week one, they're at the Giants. Payback for Coughlin. They all said it that week. Week two, you got the AFC champ who beat you, knocked you, ended your season at home. Week three, you got the Titans, the team that beat you twice, swept you last year, and was chirping about they should have been the AFC South champ. This plays right in their hand. Next week, the third straight home game, they play the Jets, another team that shocked them in overtime last year. So it's right off the, you know, this three-game homestand is three teams that gave them 4 of their 7 losses last year. It's absolutely what they're hanging their hat on right now. It's what they're talking about. Miles Jack said it best. He said, "You in this league, if you can find a reason to hate your opponent, you're that much better off." And they have plenty of reason to hate the Tennessee Titans this week and, you know, for the next 10 times they play, because, you know, the Titans have been their nemesis for decades.
That's an interesting thought, because you don't always hear teams overtly talk about that, but it sounds like that is the motivating factor. It does line up really interesting. I think to broaden it from the perspective of people here to say, oh, yeah, you know, the Titans beat the Jaguars too. But you look at the full schedule, that's a pretty interesting way to line it up. It's probably something you can use.
Oh, no doubt about it. And they are. And the reason why they use it is that's who they are. They're this confident, cocky, brash, bold, whatever you want to say about them, they'll take it. That's who we are. They got Jalen Ramsey, and they think, you know, he's kind of the mouthpiece of the defense, but he's far from the only guy talking. Tayshaun Gibson, the safety, loves to talk. linebackers, Miles Jack, Kelvin Smith, love to chatter. Malik Jackson, defensive tackle, one of the biggest trash talkers in the locker room. So, and they're given the freedom to say what they want as long as they back it up. Now, Doug Marone will be the first one to jump down their throat if they talk all the talk and then don't go walk the walk. But this is a team right now that is feeling itself, feeling, you know, pretty good about itself. And so Doug Marone has, as long as they're winning, he has no problem with them saying whatever they want as long as they're backing it up.
Did Doug Marone fall out after the freeze out from Bill Belichick on the handshake, the flyby handshake after the game against the – I mean, I watched that. I was like, holy – I mean, Bill barely even got his hand. He was moving so fast past Marone.
Yeah, listen, Bill – we all know this. Bill Belichick does not like to lose. He's not necessarily the most gracious winner out there, but he's certainly not a very good loser, as a lot of these guys. But, yeah, that was unbelievably cold, and I think Doug will survive.
I'm sure he will.
He's got his win, and if they see him again in the playoffs, he made it very clear in his postgame. Hey, listen, we expect to see these guys again in the playoffs. And he told his team, be careful what you say, be careful, you know, what you talk about, because we're going to see these guys again, and we expect every bit of it. So, you know, listen, and they welcome it. If they see him again, they'll welcome it, and Doug Marone will probably have some great line about Bill Belichick shaking his hand.
I absolutely feel no better about this game after talking to you. But thanks for doing this.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Long covers the Jags for the Associated Press. We'll come back and expound on the Titans-Jags on the other side. Darren and Donick, 102.5 The Game.